We are in the series called Heaven, and heaven is for real. And we're getting started last week, and we're going over the next number of weeks. We're going to be talking about this whole aspect of heaven. Last week we started with what will heaven be like, and we got partway through the message, and we decided we'll just stop there and we'll pick it up today. And so if you look in your bulletin, you'll see an insert that has the first few of the fill-ins already filled in for you. And we're going to pick up and carry on from there on what is heaven like. Let me just say a couple things just to bring you up to where we're at. We shared that I used to think heaven was just where God is. And so God is eternal in eternity, which means no time. Just, it's not unending time, it's just no time. And so God is in eternity. He sees the end from the beginning. And so I used to think heaven was the same way. And so if we died and go to heaven, we enter into a realm where we're just spirits and we don't have a sense of time. It's a realm we can't describe. And yet it is described, but in that thinking, it was, well, then all the descriptions are just symbolic. And that was sort of how I thought about heaven until I began to study for this series. And as I looked at it, it dawned on me that heaven is a creation. It's not something that has always been. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We see in the Bible, it talks about three heavens. The first heaven, just sort of the atmosphere around us. No one knows for sure exactly, but the second heaven, perhaps, is outer space and beyond our natural atmosphere. And then the Bible talks about a third heaven where God is, where when we die, we now go to heaven, our spirits go to heaven to be with the Lord. And so that's a third heaven that God created, and it's there. It might be in a different dimension, and that in him we live and move and have our being, we talked about last week. So it's all around us, and yet we don't see it. Angels are in that realm. We don't see angels, and yet they're here, and yet we don't see them. But the whole thought that if heaven is created, then there is an aspect that there is time-space there to some degree. It's a creation. The second thought was that the true essence of us as human beings is spirit, and that the body is sort of expendable. And yet, when you look at Scripture, it said that God created us body, soul, and spirit. And if that be the case, God is as interested in our physical body as our spirit. And we'd be less human if we didn't have a physical body. So naturally, in the Bible then, it tells us that the graves are going to be open when the Lord returns, and that our physical that is mortal will put on immortality. And so that brought a different aspect of thinking for me, because I did used to think, well, if we die and we go to heaven, why would we need our bodies? We're already with the Lord in heaven. We're already in that spiritual realm. Why would we need our bodies resurrected? But when you begin to see that God views the material, as far as our body is concerned, as much as the spiritual side, then it makes sense. You see, as we mentioned last week, it's Greek thinking, and Plato in particular, who said that the spiritual realm is the most important, and that the material realm is really a restrictive force to us, and the sooner we put it off, the better. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Hebrew thinking was, and that is that the body is as important as the spiritual. And so, as you would assume, if that be the case, then there is a resurrection of our physical body. And it said it's planted a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. It's a, there's a, And it's not exactly the same as planted, but it will be raised, and we will be like Jesus' physical body when he rose from the dead. And as we saw last week, when Jesus met them, he said, "I am not a spirit." Well, you know, I knew that, but I never really, I don't know, it just didn't register. And he said, "A spirit does not have flesh and bone as I do." So Jesus had a body that was tangible enough that he said, "Touch me." So he was in his resurrected body. And we are told that we will have resurrected bodies like his. And so when you begin to see this, it opens up a whole different line of thinking for me from just sort of disembodied spirits in a spiritual realm that you could never describe because it's completely different than anything I would ever be able to describe, to beginning to see, oh, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that after the final judgment, we are going to live in this new heaven and new earth. Well, that opens up all kinds of thinking. And now you begin to realize the descriptions of this new heaven and new earth in the Bible may not be as symbolic as we think it is. And that there is some reality in the descriptions if it is tangible and there is a time and a space, even though it does say we look through a glass darkly. So any of the times we're talking about this realm, we always have to say, well, you know, I just sort of get a glimpse of this. This is what the Bible says, and you sort of let you think. And yet at the same time, we can't be certain of all these, but we do know the descriptions the Bible gave us. And that's important because we can go back to what the Lord gave us in the scriptures to tell us about this new heaven and the new earth. So that's where we are. We're going to pick it up now and talk about six things that the Bible says heaven's going to be like. And here's the first one. We can expect the new heaven and the new earth to be a continuation of the old in many ways. A continuation of the old in many ways. You see, he called it a new earth and a new heaven. If it was going to be completely something alien to that, well, he wouldn't have referred to it as a new earth. The very fact he refers it as an earth and a heaven, you realize there's a continuity that's coming forward from the old to the new. Sort of like when you go to the store and you see on the shelf a new product. Well, it's new and yet it's not. You look at it and it says new and improved. It's the old product. It's kept the best of the old product. But now it has added some things and it's new. New and improved. And I think in the same sense, God is remaking the heaven and the earth after sin is dealt with and all these things are done. He's making a new heaven and a new earth, keeping the best of the old, having a continuity from the old to the new, and yet it's new and it's different. Now, what are the things that the Bible talks about the continuity? It says in this new earth that we're going to dwell on that there's nations. Nations, that means there are areas that people live together. It means perhaps there's still continents and there's lakes, water. Well, you say, well, again, the descriptions in the Bible is of a sea. Like a sea that's so beautiful, it's like a crystal glass, the sea. It talks about there being a throne and there's a river that flows out of that throne and there's a boulevard on either side of the river. I've been in cities like that. And yet this is going to be something so spectacular, something so beautiful. It talks about the new earth in terms of the old earth. And so I have to adjust my thinking a little bit and say, this is not necessarily all symbolic. There could be a different aspect of this. something that is a new earth, similar to the old, and yet new and different. I wonder what could be added. Maybe there's more colors in the new world. We have a certain range of colors that we see. Maybe the Lord's going to add a whole different realm of colors. Now, this is particularly important to me because, you see, I'm colorblind. And on this earth, I don't see certain colors. I've never seen the color green. Green looks other colors to me. I've never seen the color purple. Purples look blue to me. And it's a strange world I live in, by the way. But it's completely normal to me. And I've often thought, I hope when I get to heaven, at least I can see green at least once. Know what it is to see purple, mauve, turquoise. Don't see those colors. But what if in this new world, he keeps the best of the old, and he adds new dimensions, and that it'll just amaze us and excite us as we realize the new areas that God has made. And yet it's a continuation of the old, and he brings it forward. Would there be waterfalls? Well, I wouldn't. I would think that would be neat to have waterfalls. We like waterfalls here. Why wouldn't there be spectacular waterfalls on this new earth? Now we can say, no, you know, this is too natural. And this is my thinking, actually, when, you know, I first started thinking about it. Well, this is not spiritual. This is just natural. And yet, that comes back to Greek thinking, that the spiritual is most important. Without realizing, when God created that first Garden of Eden, and he put man there, I mean, that was his design for us. I mean, that was before sin, before the fall. He designed it that way. That's how he made us, to live in a garden and to see fruit and the colors and to work and to tend it and to keep it. That was God. And he looked at it and he said, you know, that's good. That's good. Now, why would we think in the new earth, he'd just do away with all that? I don't think I have any more waterfalls. I'm not going to do any more like this. See, you have to, I'm going through the process of reasoning I went through as I'm thinking about these scriptures. Why do I discard that? Why do I say that that's not spiritual when God, who is a spirit, created that in the beginning and said it's good and that's how he designed man to live without before death? So why do I think that that's not some part, a continuation into a new earth and a new heaven? And so again, we don't know for sure. But this is what the Bible tells us about this new earth and new heaven. So we shouldn't just quickly discard it. All right, let's go on to the next one. Heaven and earth are united as one. Heaven and earth are united as one. So we read here in Revelation 21, verses 2 to 3. This is what it says. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, in this picture of the new heaven and the new earth, God allows a city to come down out of heaven, and it comes down and rests upon the earth. There's a heavenly city called the New Jerusalem that comes down. And so actually we're seeing part of the heaven comes down and dwells on the earth. And the description is that God has come down to dwell with us, and that we shall be his people, and he's going to dwell with us. It's like heaven and earth now have joined together as the new Jerusalem comes down and rests on the new earth. So it's not the old Jerusalem that was the center of God's activity on this present earth, But now there's a new Jerusalem that's come down to be actually the capital city, we could think about it, the capital city of the new earth that God has created. Now, we need to think about this for a moment to get our minds around it. Because are we going to live forever in heaven, or are we going to live forever on the new earth? Well, as you see, there's a combination of the two becoming one. Now, right now, someone dies. We say, and the Bible tells us, that if we die now, our spirit goes to be with Christ in heaven, which would be our third heaven, or the present heaven. We might even call it the temporary heaven, that we're going to be there, and our body goes and buried on the earth. But we do know, as we said, that there's going to be a time when Christ returns, our body's going to be reunited with our spirit, and we become a new creature with a heavenly body. And so right now, the heaven we talk about dying and going to is not our final place, because that heaven's going to pass away. And he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. And so that's more what we could call the permanent heaven. That's the heaven that we're going to be with forever. And it speaks about not just being in a heaven, but we're going to dwell on this new earth. And God has come down to dwell with us on this earth. So heaven and earth is united. So trying to get your mind around, because when we talk about going to heaven now, that heaven is temporary. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And at that point, our eternal existence is going to be on a new earth with heaven coming down and God's dwelling with us on this new earth. So heaven and earth become one. Now let's go on to our next point. In our new bodies, we will inhabit a created place that can be measured. It's measurable. How do we know? Because this is what the Bible... See, we can only take what the Bible tells us. And so let's read on and see in verses 15 and 17. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. In other words, it's a cube. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. So it's telling us here, as he's giving us the dimensions, he says, I'm going to give you the dimensions in the measure of a man. Like, he didn't have to say that. If it was symbolic, he certainly wouldn't had to have said that. But the very fact he says, I'm giving it to you in man's measurements, seems to imply that this is a created place that's coming down to a new earth, a continuation of the old earth, and it's going to rest, and it gives its dimensions. Now, how big is this? Well, it's 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles deep, and it's 1,400 miles high, 1,400 miles. Now, how big a space is that? If you went from the Appalachian Mountains in New York State, like say you're going to set this city down over North America. If you sat it down, it would go from the Appalachian Mountains in New York State all the way out to the border of California. And it would stretch from Canada to Mexico. That is a huge area. You know how big that area is? It is 2 million square miles. 2 million square miles, just the footprint on the earth. And that's going to be the capital city. That's going to be where God resides, and we're going to be there with him. And we move in and out of the city, the Bible talks about. It says there's gates to the city. We move in and out. there's nations out, but that we come and that the rulers of the nations bring their honor and glory into this new Jerusalem. Now, is that just symbolic? There are probably aspects of it, but the Bible speaks about it as being a real, tangible thing. And if we have a new earth, as we think it might be, a new earth that's in this created universe that we're in, that God has this aspect of movement. Now, just as Jesus moved in and out of the time of this world, he appeared to them. He went through walls in his glorified body. It was like he was in this three-dimensional world, and yet he was beyond it. And he moved in and out of it, like we said last week, of a two-dimensional world, of like a surface, and I can touch it here, I can touch it over here, I can move around at ease within that two-dimension. It seems that somehow, as we are in this new earth, we may have the same capability of traveling that Jesus had as he was on this earth. You can ask all kinds of questions around this. Well, if we're there in a new resurrected body, what will this new resurrected body look like? Well, it'll probably look like you. You go, oh, I thought I'd get rid of my big ears. I don't like the shape of my nose. Well, we do know that they recognized Jesus. Now, when they didn't recognize him, the Bible specifically says their eyes were beholden, that they couldn't recognize him. And then their eyes were open, they recognized him. And so I would seem that there is going to be a continuation. It's not just like the body you have, but it's going to be similar to the body you have, and you'll be recognizable. Well, how old will you be? Well, I would think that you would be at the optimum state of your physical development. As we get older, it's because death is working in us and we are dying. But if we weren't dying, what would be the most optimum state for you to be in physically when you are fully developed with your capabilities? I believe that's where we're going to be in heaven. That you will have a physical body. I mean, it's different for everyone. Maybe for most people be in their 30s somewhere. But wherever you are at your most ultimate state, physical state, no doubt is where you're going to be. And as far as saying, well, I don't know whether I want to look like this, well, that's all kind of human, isn't it? Today, we revere skinny ladies in models. Back 100 or 200 years ago, it was the more well-rounded woman that was admired. You know, it's all cultural, what we admire and what we think is important or not important and the size of our features. But in heaven, there's no sin. There's no greed. There's no judgment as far as critical judgment. We are just will be what God has designed us to be, minus any imperfections that come because of sin or things that have deformed us in some way because of sin being in our life. So you'll probably be in a physical body, like Jesus' physical body, and if there's any credibility to the movie, God is for real, which we don't know at all. That's just a movie based on a young lad's going to heaven and talking about it. He said, there's no old people in heaven. Nobody wears glasses in heaven. You need to see that movie, just if nothing else, just to sort of get your thinking moving. How much of that is, I don't know how much of that is true. But we do have descriptions in the Bible that we shouldn't just quickly dismiss. If it's telling us things here in the Bible, well, then let's think about it and think it through and think, what would that be like? Now, here's another interesting thing that just begins to boggle my mind when I think about this. Jesus initiates a conversation when he's appearing to his disciples, and he says this. He asks them a question. Do you have any fish? And he actually ate the fish in his resurrected body. What does that mean? Are we going to eat in heaven? Oh, that couldn't be the case. That's not spiritual. Well, doesn't the Bible describe when we go to heaven, we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb? And we're going to eat and feast. And now, I don't know all the ins and outs of it. Maybe it's a different kind of body that enjoys food, and yet it doesn't have the same need that we would do today for food. I have no idea. But I do would say this. When God created us with physical hunger and eating, he said it's good. I mean, that was God's original intent. And so why would we think he's just going to discard all that? As if, oh, don't want that anymore. It may well be a continuation. We don't know. We really don't know. But all of these things are interesting to think about. Will you know and recognize your loved ones? Well, I think you will. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So we will know people. And that's our hope, that you'll meet your loved ones and know them. Now, someone said, well, are we going to be married in heaven? Well, they asked Jesus the same question. In fact, they tried to catch him up. And they said to Jesus, now this woman, she lived on earth, she had a husband, then the husband died, then she married another husband, then he died, she married another husband, she had seven husbands. Now in the resurrection, whose husband will she be? And Jesus answered it. He said, you err the way you're thinking. He said in that new kingdom, he said, you're not going to be married and giving in marriage, but you will be as the angels. But it doesn't mean we won't have gender, and it doesn't mean that we won't recognize one another. It just means there will not be that sense of marriage and procreation that we have here on this earth. And so you may well recognize and know on a different level an appreciation and true love for your partner on earth, or for your children, or for people. But not have the same aspect of sexual connotation that it does today. Because Jesus specifically says that's not going to be in the kingdom. Now, I say all of this because Jesus answered that question. He didn't say, oh, there's nothing to do with bodies in the new earth or in the new heaven. He didn't say that. He answered it and just said, there's not going to be marriage. So again, I just pose these questions to you as we ask, what will heaven be like? We're looking through a glass darkly, and we don't know everything, but we are thinking about it. We're anticipating it. We're wondering, what does the Bible say, and what will it be like? Now here is the fourth one. The unseen dimension will be merged with the seen. The unseen dimension will be merged with the seen. We saw last week that when we read those verses about his creation of the first heaven and earth, it said he created things visible and invisible, principalities and powers. In other words, he created the angels, he created that whole spiritual realm that is invisible, and it's part of this first creation of the heavens and the earth. He created the seen and the unseen. And so, it seems as we move into this new realm, now he's added this dimension because it refers to angels being at the gates and the interaction of resurrected human beings and angels, that we're going to judge angels, whatever that means. There's an aspect that we bring, because we see we are created in the image of God. We have something in us, even though we're fallen, we have an aspect in us that angels don't have. And so, it you know, we don't. It says we don't know what it will, what it's going to be, but, you know, there's going to be something fantastic. So what I'm saying, in this new earth and new heaven, apparently this third or fourth dimension, whatever you want to put it, of angels and so forth, that's removed. And now, in the new earth and the new heaven, we see everything. We're seeing the seen, the unseen. And we're in a new heaven, a new earth, where these things are combined. And so, as a result, as we said, we might be able to travel from here to there, just as Jesus traveled from place to place on this new earth without any kind of transportation. We just be there. We can be in the New Jerusalem, that's this massive capital city, and be in the presence of the Lord, and then later we could be in Australia or another place, and we're moving. Wouldn't you love to take the time and sit down with your past relatives and find out? You know, I went to the wedding yesterday. Carla and Philip were married yesterday, and I had the privilege to marry them. And her grandfather, 90 years of age, I got chatting with him. He's going over to the D-Day celebrations that's coming in June. 70 years. He was there. So I got chatting with him, and he was telling me about how they landed and how the French farmer took him in. And I mean, I was just intrigued. I told him, I said, those are fantastic memories. You know, and I just enjoyed hearing the stories of what happened 70 years ago on D-Day and the invasion. But what if we have all eternity to talk about to all kinds of people? Oh, you're my great, great, great grandfather. Tell me about your experience. And we're talking our experiences back and forth. And who knows how far we can travel? Who knows if we're in a realm of time that we actually travel within time and go back and see things that happened earlier, because we're moving in time, like Jesus moved in time in his resurrected body. I have no idea. But it's just interesting to think about in light of how it is described here in the Bible. Here's the fifth one. And I'm not going to do this much because we'll talk about this next week. But rewards may be literal. The rewards we receive in heaven may be literal. You know how what it means? He said, when you get in heaven, you'll rule over 5 cities. You'll rule over 10 cities. Well, is that just symbolic? Or is there possibly real cities in this new earth that when Jesus says, you'll rule and reign with me, he really means rule and reign? I mean, how would he say it otherwise if that's what the real case was? Like, he said you're going to rule and reign with me. So why do we, and I'm not talking to myself, why do I balk at that? Why do I say, oh, well, it won't be cities when Jesus said it will be cities? And if they are rulers of the nation who brings their honor and glory to the New Jerusalem, who are those rulers of the nations? You might be sitting beside one. And according to our faithfulness on this earth, we're given rewards and crowns. Crowns speak of rule and reign in this new earth. So how, I mean, the mind begins to boggle when you think about it, of what it might be. And next week we'll talk, the topic is, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? And so we'll talk about what we're doing on earth. How is it affecting my position in heaven? And the Bible has, you know, amazingly, the Bible has a whole lot to say about that, that I don't think we even think about. But the Bible refers to that over and over again about rewards. And even when Jesus returns, he says, my reward is with me. He's bringing the rewards to give to his people as he comes to earth. Incredible thoughts. Now here's the last one. We will continue to grow and learn and subdue God's creation. We will continue to grow and learn and subdue God's creation. the original mandate for mankind on this natural earth we're now, this is what it says. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then a little later it says, and God blessed them, and God said, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. In fact, God even told Adam to name the animals. What did it mean by that? You're saying for man to, you investigate, you understand this, you classify the animals. You find out the connection. And man is still doing that. Scientists to this day are still classifying the different species that are here on this earth. He's saying you subdue it. You rule over it. You find out about it. You investigate it. You take charge of that. That was the original mandate. What if it's similar in the new earth and the new heaven? That we are actually learning and growing. See, I used to think, well, when you get to heaven, you know everything. But why would I think that? Only God knows everything. On the new earth, in this new heaven, we're still learning. We're still developing. We're still investigating. What if he says you subdue this? You take dominion over this. And so in our new bodies and in the new abilities that we have, we're pursuing this new earth. Now here's the other thought. God created a new heaven. Well, what about the natural heaven that we have now? Outer space. Do you know how immense that is? How immense outer space is? I mean, you have to watch some videos and go online and YouTube. And when you see how small we are as an earth around our particular sun, that we're just a third of the way out in our Milky Way galaxy, which is a cluster of 200 million stars. And yet there are millions and hundreds of millions of galaxies that have stars and solar systems around them. I used to think it was a bit of an overkill, wasn't it, Lord, when he created all this? I mean, you're creating the earth, and then he said, and then he created the stars also. Wow. But the Bible says when you look at the heavens, you see the stars, you realize, wow, the majesty of God. And only of late are we subduing that aspect where we're getting to understand more of that created universe. But why is it so huge? Could it be that after a trillion or so years of subduing the new earth, that God would say to some of us, you know, I'm going to give you that galaxy out there. I want you to move out into that galaxy, and I want you to rule and reign over it. Perhaps God will do a new creation out there, because God's creative. He's always creating. Who knows? I mean, we have no idea what he has in mind for us. The Bible says, you know, we can't understand the things he's prepared for us. But to me, the size of that universe is big enough to keep us going for eternity. In fact, it's continuing to expand. And there's new galaxies being formed all the time, scientists are finding. Now that's on the old earth. What about this new earth and the new heaven that God is creating? Talk about being bored in heaven. Oh, I don't know, I want to go to heaven. I get bored. Well, that's only if you're thinking you're going to play a harp and you're in an everlasting worship service. Worship will all be part of this. But there are going to be challenges for us. You know, we are at our best when we have a challenge. And we're using our ingenuity, and we're using all of our abilities and talents, and we're working to accomplish something. That's what we enjoy. That's going to be part of heaven in some way. You're going to have abilities and challenges that will all, and see, someone said, well, I don't know whether I want, I don't know whether I can do all that. See, God knows exactly what you can do. And your spot will be exactly right for you. You'll be fulfilled and at peace, because in heaven there's no envy. There's no, oh, I wish I could be like that, or regret, oh, why can't I do that? See, we're all going to be there. He's going to wipe the tears from our eyes. There's no regrets. We're all going to be where we should be, accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish in this new heaven, in this new earth. Are you excited about it? It gets you thinking when suddenly you realize, hey, these descriptions may be real descriptions to a certain degree. And so it's great for us to think about it. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have small groups this week. We have a number of questions for you to consider and think about, talk about. Read these portions in Revelation 21 and 22. Read the different descriptions of heaven. And let's talk about it this week in your small groups. If you haven't signed up, still can do so, as Larry mentioned to you. Sign up for the groups. We can get you into one. And they're going to run for the next number of weeks as we talk about this series. Now, here's the thing as we close this service. Are you ready for heaven? Have you received the Lord? Do you have eternal life? It said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where you're going to move into this new earth and this new heaven. Are you sure of your eternal life? You can be. That's a free gift for us. All you have to do is take his salvation that he's provided for us and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for going my own way. I'm sorry for not recognizing you as the creator. I am sorry for just ignoring you. Father, forgive me. I want to live my life the way you want me to. I want to get in sync with your purposes. That's what it means to give your heart to the Lord. Let him come and rule and reign over your life. And he promises to help us and work with us and change us. And our perspective changes from just dealing with this life and that person said that about me and I got to get some money there. And suddenly your eyes open to this eternal realm that's out there that you go, wow, this life is nothing compared to what he's prepared. And what I'm doing on this world is determining my world to come. And so I just want us to pray at the close of this service that if there's anyone here, you're not sure that you have eternal life. You can be sure. I wonder if everyone just raised their hand with me right now. Let me pray for you. You want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. Lord, I just want to speak on behalf of all of us that raise our hands. Lord, we want to acknowledge you as our Lord and our Creator. And Lord, as we look at these things that you've prepared for us, our mind boggles. We can't grasp it all, but Lord, we know it's real. And we ask, Lord, that we would surrender to your purposes. And Lord, help us to get off the throne of our own heart and allow you to sit on our heart. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, give us that gift of eternal life. And Lord, everyone that's here, open our eyes to spiritual matters and to eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you'd like to just